Welcome to the Bitcoin Nova. I'm here with Alu from Nigeria, and we're going to be discussing everything about how Nigeria is adopting Bitcoin and how they're using it and not just holding it as a store of value. So this is Alu. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome,
so, Stacey. So tell us a little bit. Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Tell us a little bit about your experience with how you maybe started with Bitcoin, or how it is over there in Nigeria with, inflation and how people have transitioned.
It's a story that I have shared multiple times. You know, every time I share the story, I add a little bit of a new dimension to it. Mm-hmm. But once again, I am glad to be here. Yeah, it was born out of the need. I'll try as much as possible to fast forward it. I bought Bitcoin first in 2013. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was MMM.
What's MMM?
It's a Ponzi. You can just type MMM, okay. Ponzi. That's triple okay. M Ponzi. You'll find something. It's not a conversation mm-hmm. for this place. It was a Ponzi. That was popular in Nigeria. So there was inflation in Nigeria. I just bought it because somebody told me about it. I didn't know. I wasn't orange pilled. So I just bought it as a money doubler. So I was in New York in cold winter 2016, looking for something different, something very challenging to do. But because I had a clean visa and my friends and people of African descent who are undocumented in their thousands, of course, millions all over the world. But at the time in New York, I know a couple of hundreds undocumented, and they like to send money back home. So I was their verifiable source to send money back home. And at the time, I was doing a Code Kickstarter class with New York Code Design Academy, John Street, Manhattan. So that day I had weight of cash in my pocket. I needed to send it back to Nigeria. After I had been censored by Western Union for sending too much money at the time, you know, I had to argue it out and tell Western Union, I am not a fraudster. I'm sending money back to my African people. Please give me the money. You know, after censoring me, they gave me back the money. I realized the U.S. like the money coming in. They don't like their money going out. So I was coming from classes on that day. Luckily for me, it was like just the third class, the free session. And I saw this tall Rockefeller building, and it had the United Bank of Africa flag. That's a big bank in Nigeria and Africa. Oh, power cut.
Oh, no, it's okay. At least your computer's still on.
Yes, but you're going to have to give me a minute for me to turn on my power. I hope that's not bad.
That's fine. Yeah. Take your time.
So you see what Bitcoin mining can do for us in Nigeria, support the energy grid.
Yes, that's something that, yeah, I would love to see. I mean, I know about that. I just, I think it's amazing because they can store their extra energy consumption and just send it out for when they run out.
Life is crazy. You're very lucky to be an American and living in America because
you don't know what it was cool to see this firsthand.
Yeah, hey, we mean, like, don't cut it, just leave it like that in the interview so people can know this is real life.
Exactly. Yes, I want to keep it. The other thing is that I was noticing that you were a little bit glitchy before that happened, but now you sound a lot clearer. So it's like, it was almost like showing us I was about to cut out because you were starting to sound a little bit glitchy.
Most likely, or maybe my own power, because I have solar, I have a generator, and of course the electricity coming from the grid. So you don't have to depend on the grid electricity. You must have your own electricity in Nigeria.
So what did you do to turn it back on? You just have to flip us like the fuse box or something, or how do you?
Yeah. You switch to the your personal power grid, which is the generator. And then
so you're using a generator right now?
Yes, I'm using the generator right now. Usually, I just tell
Wow.
somebody to do it, so I just, go to
So,
the top of the house and do it.
how often does it happen?
Regularly, like as often
Really?
as I tweet.
Wow.
It's born out of bad leadership,
Yeah.
bad leadership. We have very terrible leadership structure. The people are encouraged to steal in place of power. So what they promise during election is not what they do. And of course, it's worldwide. It's just that ours in Nigeria here is very terrible. Although Nigeria is pretty much a very young country, less than 70 years, I believe. I don't think we're up to 70.
Oh, it froze again.
This was gotten in 1960.
I don't know if you could hear me.
So, yeah. So my connection
Can you hear me still?
might be a little bit crazy just because different people are trying to call me. So when they are calling me, it's going to be affecting the network.
So this is crazy because you were just cutting out again. I heard the end
Yeah,
part of
that's
that, but.
because somebody was trying to call my phone. So
Oh. So is it like sucking up more energy from what the generator's using when.
no, it's taking data. So I'm sharing my internet data, my phone internet data, so that we don't clash. I have other service that people use in my house here, but the internet data of my phone is what I'm sharing with my Mac laptop. So yeah. But let's get into it. I'm excited. Forget about all the woes of Nigeria. You will hear it from my mouth.
But
I'm a
that's
loud mouth when it
honestly,
comes to talking about Nigeria. So let's do it.
no, but that's the important part about Bitcoin, because it's like that's what shows you that things like Bitcoin, when you mentioned how Bitcoin can help stabilize an energy grid like they're doing in Texas, those are the types of things that people would like to know. It's like everything isn't like where you're from. You know, it's like we're here, we're, you know, spoiled in that way. Like we don't have a lot. I mean, in Chicago where I'm at, you know, we don't have that kind of thing happening, but I know it happens in Texas and a lot of other areas. So it's important that people, a lot of people don't realize that the excess energy from Bitcoin mining can help sustain these grids. So it's really, I mean, a real thing, and it's nice to, not nice to see, but I mean, it's people want to see real shit, you know? So it's like, you want to see what's going on. You want to know how Bitcoin can help it. So I think that's great. But I do want to know about, I remember when you said in Spaces about how, you know, you don't care, like people in Nigeria or other countries other than the US, we don't care. You don't care about the Strategic Reserve and Donald Trump talking about Bitcoin. And it's true, because whether the US adopts it that way or whether presidents are talking about it here, inflation is hurting other countries and their currency is being devalued to the point where they don't have another choice and there's no better asset to invest in. Not even invest, but just put your, like, change your money into it so that you can just spend it, save it, whatever you want to do in it. Because you mentioned that one Satoshi is more valuable than Nigerian Naira.
Absolutely. And it's funny. If you do a Google search now and you put one Satoshi, right? And you look for the Nigerian naira as a currency, you put it there, you see the facts. And I tell people that don't worry, it looks like it's worse in Nigeria, but it's already worse in America because Bitcoin already embarrassed the US dollar. But because our money is backed by so-called USD, which is not supposed to be, in the books it's not, but in reality that's what it is. That's why it looks as if our currency is bastardized. But that's just because the dollar already bastardized our currency. It wasn't like that many years ago. The Nigerian naira was more than the US dollar. It used to be greater than the US dollar just about 30 years ago. And then the US dollar achieved a naira parity. Not the naira achieving the US dollar parity. The US dollar achieved the naira parity. That's against the Nigerian naira. About 25 years down the line, this is what we have. It's already about 1,650 one naira of Nigerian naira to buy one US dollar. It's crazy. But you know what we use to console ourselves, especially Bitcoiner like me? I say it. I say, look, if in 2009, 2011, you could use one in 2009, you could use $1 to buy thousands of BTC, right? And in 2011, Bitcoin achieved dollar parity. don't cry for Nigeria as much. Cry for USA first, because Bitcoin is going to keep embarrassing the US dollar, and then we are just at the receiving end of the crumbs of the problems of the US dollar. So we are being battered by the pains of the US dollar. So we don't care what happens to the US dollar. We just want to Bitcoin and survive. You know what I mean? Because somehow, some way, Bitcoin is definitely going to get to, I mean, people say, Michael Saylor say in 21 years, maybe 40 something million dollar, you know, maxi case. But I think that one Satoshi one day would definitely become $1 million, if not $10 million. People are sleeping on what Bitcoin is. Even Michael Saylor, you know, enjoying himself with the infinite money glitch strategy right now. Haven't really explored to the fullest. Wait till African leaders, African politicians, African capital market wakes up. They won't wake up in 2025. They may wake up in 28, 29, you know, but when they wake up, you will now see magic. You will see money printed. You will see strategies that will be used to acquire Bitcoin. And by that time, you know, some of them will celebrate, oh, we just bought 10,000 Satoshis with $10 million. And they will be glad doing it. And they would do it in such a way that the citizens will be very, very happy. It may sound unrealistic, but it is true. Like I just explained to you, if you will use $80,000 to buy one Bitcoin today, then the US dollar is completely useless. So what about the Nigerian Naira? When one Satoshi is already bigger than the Nigerian Naira, why am I saving in the Naira, for God's sake? Before now, I try as much as possible to save in the US dollar, right, to protect my purchase power, you know, but I realized that, no, saving in the US dollar is like, you know, me sitting on a gunpowder.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just save in Bitcoin. And we don't really care if, shout out to President Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump. I've known Donald Trump even before my 20s. Yeah, out of the deal. Everything around his system of firing and hiring people, I like. I like Donald Trump as the celebrity businessman. And I was in America. I was in New York on the day of his election. I was in a restaurant drinking Guinness Extra Stout and watching the election go live. And I was telling people, this man is going to become the president. They didn't believe me. So now that he's the president again, I love what he's doing. Wish he was Nigeria's president, but no. But whatever he's doing around strategic Bitcoin reserve is to the benefit of United States of America, value to Bitcoin network. Because if you like, you hodl your BTC forever and ever. If you cannot move it over the Bitcoin network, then it is useless, absolutely useless. You know, so for me, the ability to be able to spend Bitcoin as against any other rail that will censor me, as against any other permissioned system, you know, it's a breakthrough for me. You know, I don't need any visa. I don't need an international passport. It's not about my color or your color. If I send money, you know, the only thing I can delay it is escrow of peer-to-peer exchanges or KYC measurements and anti-money laundry, you know, due diligence that can delay the transaction or third-party services.
Like, look at your smile on your face. It's like you're just like exuding this like freedom. Like you're like, I don't care. Like I don't care what's going on with this or that or with the Nigerian dollar. It's like you're just happy. You know, it gives you this freedom. Yeah. You're like, it doesn't matter. Like none of it matters. It's like you're just doing what you gotta do. And I love so much what you said about don't cry for Nigeria, cry for America, because it reminds me of when people say, or like when, you know, it's even like a quote in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth, because it reminds you of how the people in Nigeria and other countries where the US has destroyed their currency because of our inflation policies here, the other countries have no choice but to adopt Bitcoin first. So you guys are going to be winning, and the American people are ignorant because we are so used to being like, oh, America number one, everyone, we're fine here, our dollar's the best. Until it's too late, and then everyone else already has Bitcoin, and those are going to be the people that are buying 10,000 sats, like you said, for $10 million, because they're going to be the last ones, because they're so ignorant and they have their head in the sand. They don't need, it's like not a need to know basis for Americans. The rest of the world is doing it. The most educated
people will fall into that category, because educated people, wealthy people, they lack the capacity to shift, to understand paradigm shift when it comes to money. You know, they never taught us money growing up. So some of us that have the opportunity to have traveled around the world, if you don't go into the rabbit hole of Bitcoin, if you cannot do 1,000+ hours upward, then you won't understand. My mom lives in America. My brother lives in America. You know, it took me a long time to convince them, especially my mom and her husband, so they get very surprised when I say, look, I have liquidity issue. I need a couple of thousands of dollars. Can you help me raise quickly $50,000? I need to do this deal. Give me 48 hours. I'll put this interest on top. And I come through with the interest. They find it very, very amazing. I say there is no system of finance that can help you achieve the decentralized finance nature that is embedded in Bitcoin. Peer-to-peer transaction in Bitcoin alone have enriched thousands and thousands of young Nigerian people. Is it socioeconomic impact? Is it human capacity development? Is it job creation? Is it taking the youth away from crime? Bitcoin has added so much value. If you come to Nigeria, like I've been trying to invite people for the Niger Bitcoin Conference, we had the first one in Nigeria last year, then you will see what's true on-ground Bitcoin adoption is. Guess what? We have an SEC DG, SEC Director General, like our own Gary Gensler, whose thesis was written in Bitcoin, just like Gary Gensler was teaching Bitcoin in MIT. It's more like regulators like that. He mostly was qualified for the job, but you know, he topped his competitors just because he wrote his thesis in BTC. And guess what? He even attended virtually the first ever Bitcoin conference in Nigeria. I don't think there's anywhere in Africa that they've gotten a direct presidential regulator to be a part of a Bitcoin-only conference. It was there for 30 minutes. It took questions and answers, even from a veteran American who visited Nigeria. So Bitcoin has touched lives at different levels. And it would be an understatement. It would be a disservice if I don't say the truth. If I don't step into the room, I'm in a room and people just talk and undermine what is happening in Africa because they just want to see their bag go up. I shake my head. I say, your bag go up. And then if it's censorable, it's useless. If iBit can, you know, shut your transaction just because it's paper Bitcoin, then I'm better than you, because I have my own MK4 code wallet here. My coin card. I got my SATS card here.
Is that what you use? Do you use the SATS card every day? Is that what you use the most?
And then let me tell you about it. And then I got multiple nodes that I can run. So I'm a bank of my own. You know, I don't need no central bank. I don't need the American SWIFT system. I set up nodes for people, for high net worth individuals in Nigeria.
Your energy is like, you know, so powerful. Like you could feel how happy you are about this. You don't care. Like it's so, so amazing. It's like,
I wake up every day to teach Bitcoin. Sometimes I'm reluctant. Sometimes my emotional state is not a fit for an educational session. But once it's about Bitcoin, I go online and we do it every day. 2-3 people. The God Almighty said, wherever 2 or more people are gathered, I'm there with them. So once I get 2 people, I'm all right. And you hear the amazing testimonies from other people like myself from different parts of Nigeria, different parts of Africa, in diaspora, all over the world, people talking about the impact of Bitcoin. I love it so much here. I run a Bitcoin exchange. I have mined Bitcoin. I've done practically everything around it. I've supported with my own funds people to go attend Bitcoin conferences. I've already peeled an ex-president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I've already peeled the poorest of the poor. You know, somebody who cannot afford $2 a day. You know, I sit down with them, I talk to them. I've spoken to an incumbent governor in Nigeria about Bitcoin. So it's your loss, whether you take it or not. It is your loss, right? For me, I already know a path to glory, a path to success. It looks like a narrow way. It looks like a narrow path. It's not the wide way. But trust me, the light at the end of the tunnel is brighter than whatever it is the sun can provide.
And I feel like it's such an honor because you have orange-pilled from very well-known, very important, influential people to just anybody who, barely can get by. And I am honored to have you talking to me here today because even for me to just start this podcast to try to spread the word to people that just aren't very technical or aren't very financial people. They can just understand it in a regular way. So we could just talk to people who just have their own perspective on it. And for to hear your perspective from Nigeria is amazing. And to hear how I wish I could live there or in El Salvador or somewhere where I could just see Bitcoin everywhere and just converting everything and just spending it and using it. It's amazing. I would love that.
You may not
It's
see
just
Bitcoin
such a whole
everywhere,
different world.
but you will feel the impact and the need of Bitcoin. And then, as soon as you mention the word Bitcoin, you see how it starts to connect. It starts to attract. Firstly, let me explain to you. When you come to Nigeria, it's not like you're going to see signs of BTC everywhere. No. But when you approach a young person in Nigeria, we have a population of over 220 million people by 2050. United Nations and World Bank say we would be about 200 and we'll be about 500 million people. So that's a market. Anybody that is not looking at the Nigerian market, you're deceiving yourself. It's more like you're ignoring India and China some years ago. So that's why you see everybody here, from BlackRock to ExxonMobil, all of them, they're here. There's something they're getting from this place. We have a high population of young people, very enthusiastic, internet aware, socially cerebral. And smart, but the opportunities
Love
are
that.
very, very minute. So when you ask them a couple of questions, you see how they want to come out of poverty. Everybody's looking for a way to liberate themselves from poverty, and that's what encourages scam, at the end of the day. But if you touch the heart of a young Nigerian, you would see what Bitcoin is doing. A young Nigerian don't want to hodl Bitcoin. They see Bitcoin as an exit strategy. Come out of poverty, right? Oh, I don't want my money to get into the bank. Pay me in Bitcoin. Do graphics work online to get paid in Bitcoin. Actually, Africa, Nigeria to be precise, on top of the food chain, made it even more profound to pay people with BTC. Because if you look at most of the big Bitcoin companies all over the world today, you will find one African or one Nigerian working there. Mention them. Mention them. But it's difficult to pay these people when they are servicing you. How do you want to pay them? You pay them, the money get debased real quick via dollar rails or naira rails, and they might not even get there on time. It's a problem. Like I was telling you the story of when I went to Manhattan and I saw the Rockefeller building with a Nigerian bank company flag, and I walked into the place. What they were running there was a Nostros and Vostros account thingy. It wasn't a commercial bank, and I had weight of cash with me, and I wanted to send money back home after being, censored by Western Union not to be able to send bulk money. What did I do? I started researching and I found BTC, and the unique thing is, Bitcoin don't care, no KYC, nothing. You can send money all over the world. All the undocumented Nigerians, how do you think they send money? Some of them are there in America. Visa expired just because of greener pastures, not because they want to come and be aliens in another person's country. If you check the stats in America, Nigerians are one of the most educated immigrants, if not the most educated immigrants. Do your findings, right? The media paints the country badly, but largely, if you have associated with true Nigerians, the ones that are verifiable, if you come to the front door, you would see that these people are not as bad as they say they are. A lot of good people in
Never.
Nigeria. Why do you think Jack Dorsey is investing so much in Nigeria?
I
Yes,
didn't
Twitter
realize he
HQ.
was.
Yeah, Twitter HQ is not here, but most of the developers working with Jack Dorsey in Africa, they are from Nigeria. There's something called Bitrust, right? It was Kala and it became Bitrust. Shout out to my Niger brothers doing so. I'm talking about the likes of Bernard Parra and Abdul Khalil Noor. These are great guys doing wonderfully well. Go check them out. And 400 Bitcoins was sent to them way back, how many years ago now? Over 5 years, right? To develop Bitcoin, the capacity of Bitcoin developers. And that's not enough. We need about four, five, 10 of such services, because that service is pretty much basically benefiting Jack Dorsey and his future dream. wise entrepreneurs in America and the rest should be looking at what Jack Dorsey is doing and say, we need to give that guy a run for his money, competing, because he's basically monopolizing the space. He's getting cheap labor from Nigeria, right? Of course, developing human capacity. But how many developers come out of BitTrust, as wonderfully well as the idea is? So we are advocating for more and more and more of that. So in the long run, what I'm basically saying is our country and the way we look at Bitcoin is everything you hear as per nonsense and game theory. It's already our reality here. I don't know how to express it, but when you hear Nigerian Bitcoiners talking about Bitcoin, it's a way of life for us. I can touch up multiple examples for you. Multiple examples. Some Americans have not even seen Bitcoin miners before. When we live and wake up with Bitcoin miners, you see, I'm showing you Bitcoin node, right? I'm showing you, right. The coin kite code card that I have with me was sent to me some time ago from, I think, the founders. You know, I think in 2022, they were not even as big as they are now. And I have been able to educate as many Nigerians as possible with their product. And so many products right there here. Let me tell you, the number of Nigerians doing transactions on foreign platforms is actually more than the number of Nigerians doing transactions with banks. If you look at the adoption curve, when banking started, right, people didn't adopt bank just like that. Even the new age technology of bank cards, people didn't really, you know, welcome it smoothly like that. But look at BTC, from Wallet of Satoshi to MUUN, Moon Wallet, to even Strike. We know it all, Blue Wallet. Mention it. Check their database. You will see thousands and thousands of Nigerians. Even Jack Mallers Strike was not interacting with USDT as much. I think he used to be against USDT. But when his markets came into Africa and he realized that, oh, I'm not going to make no money if I don't, you know, allow USDT and Bitcoin interoperate. he had to switch. And you can go ask Jack Mallers. I watched him online, you know, enthusiastically advocated for Bitcoin and USDT, you know, business in Nigeria, loudly saying the transaction volumes they're doing, they can't stop. Go ask them. Coinbase, all of them. Coinbase has just invested. You know, let me just keep some of this information. You know, I have access to inside information that can completely confuse you or convince you that what Bitcoin has done is beyond what we are seeing. Don't complain about Web3. I used to complain about Web3, blockchain, shitcoins, but now I don't any longer, because I realized that if the American president can shitcoin openly and Bitcoiners could not really, really stop him, and then we kept on clapping for him just because we wanted an SBR, let's be frank with ourselves. Let them keep doing whatever they're doing. Eventually, everything rolls back into Bitcoin. It's just so sad that some people will get pain. Some people will get their hands burnt, you know, and we can't really, the salvation of God Almighty will not touch everybody. Some people will see Jesus face to face and they will still say, no, you're not the Son of God. You know? Yes. So you can force a horse to the water. You cannot force the horse to drink the water. You know? So, but collectively, we can make it happen, because a tree cannot make a bush. You know, one day the wind will blow and we will see the anus of the chicken. So let's wait for that day.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's why I think Nigerians are a lot like Greek people. Like, I'm Greek and there's a lot of passionate cultures out there. But when you said that, you know, don't underestimate Nigeria, because like you said, you talk about Bitcoin to a young Nigerian with a lot of passion. It's like that passion spreads like wildfire. You know, it's like you share it with one person and then they'll share it with their friends. And it's like they understand it, because Bitcoin inspires passion in people, because they understand how powerful and how good for humanity it is, and how it's a source for good instead of this evil, you know, fiat world that we're living in. But you're right also about this whole people not caring about, like, people caring too much about Web3 and US dollar coins and all that stuff. It's like, you know, I feel like it's true that you shouldn't care so much about it, because Satoshi didn't care. He said he left. He said Bitcoin's in good hands, and he knew it would survive at that point, and he left it, and it's growing the way it should. And it's like natural, you know, it's like a natural growth of and whatever happens in the ecosystem, it is eventually people learn and they flow back into Bitcoin because that's the true value, you know. So it's so amazing. I love all the, you know, metaphors and everything. And I don't know if you could hear me while I'm talking about all this, but I think we cut out a little bit again right there. It's okay. No, I didn't ask. I was just saying about how the how people worry too much about the Web3 and the, you know, US dollar stablecoins. And
look, that's what is building the space. That's what is building the space. Hypocrites, Bitcoiners are the ones that talk too much. Many of them just hide behind their avatars and they do nothing for Bitcoin. Some of them have never seen one Bitcoin in their entire life. They just talk yeah, online. Don't believe those type of people. Look at you, look yourself. Time is money. You could have been using this time to do something else, but you're here using the time to get more information, educate yourself. At the same time, I learn from you, you learn from me, and the world at large will benefit from what you're doing. You know, so, but if somebody stays online and say, "Come, shit, come, what have you done for your country? How many people have you orange peel?" You know, some of them just sit down and read from online. They don't even know. They've not practiced these things. So shout out to the true Bitcoiners, right? If it wasn't for the shenanigans that we have today, we wouldn't have a market. There would not be a reason to want to orange peel people. You know, there would not be a reason to want to win. The sincerity of purpose behind Bitcoin breeds the willingness to succeed. So if you look at the entire space, for example, look at CZ of Binance. Today is obviously telling all his followers that it is not Bitcoin. It cannot be Bitcoin, even though he has his own shitcoin, even though his platform is a shitcoin platform enabler. But CZ of Binance is number one Bitcoin fan. He knows everything starts and ends with Bitcoin. And all of them like that, Brian Armstrong of Coinbase. But there's a marketplace to make money. At the end of the day, it's about money. Who doesn't want to drive a Rolls Royce? Who doesn't want to be impactful? Who doesn't want to live a good life? Before now, we were all shitcoiners, Stacy. All of you, myself, you, everybody, Jeff Bezos, everybody.
And if they don't do it, someone else will. So it's like if they, you know.
Mention the names of the best players. I don't even know why I mentioned the Jeff Bezos. Maybe because I read about Jeff
Bezos. But I mean, it could, everyone, I feel like it probably.
Saifedean, who wrote all the big of them, all of us were shitcoiners. And when I say shitcoiners, I don't mean altcoiners. If you were in fiat before today, you were a shitcoiner.
That's
the fact. Because all fiat was shitcoin. So why are you calling somebody shitcoiner? Why are you against Corey Clipson of Swan? Because, he was, you know, he had this experience before he became orange peeled. And then it's strictly Bitcoin now. Why are you against somebody who has shitcoin before? To err is human. To forgive is divine. My past is not my present. I am not my skin, like India Ari. I am not my hair. I am my soul, the soul that lives within me. So if I tell you I am no longer a shitcoiner and I'm now doing Bitcoin and Bitcoin only, if you don't believe me, it's your cup of tea. Whoever is not happy with you have a problem inside of them. You are not the problem if you know you have integrity. You know what I mean? It's just sad that the world have an open court that is not following the book of the law, so anybody can judge anybody. Without the shit market, Bitcoin wouldn't be this big. Let the network remain the networks, right? Let people do their nonsense, and when they realize, they will come back. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the pursuit of this liberation. So let it happen.
You can't stop it. You can't change it. It's human nature. It's like you're watching human nature evolve, you know, and it's just like when you already know what you are, you don't have to worry. You don't care. It doesn't bother you what other people think about you. You already know who you are. So it's like you have to be for sure about your outlook on life, and it doesn't affect you anymore of what people think about you. And everyone does have a starting point. Everyone does have a beginning to their Bitcoin journey. And look what happens. Like we turn into these maxis and we understand Bitcoin is true. And that's why we want to share the passion with people. We want to do what we're doing. And you know, it is, it's energizing, you know, it's like, part of us, like, you feel like you don't want to sometimes, like with all the times I've orange pilled people, I've said a few times in my life, like, I'm done talking to people. I'm not going to do it anymore. I've told them, if they don't believe me by now, I'm just over it. But then the more I talk to people like you, it's like, it energizes me so much more. And it gives me, more energy to want to keep doing this. You know, I want to keep talking to more and putting the podcast out there and just hopefully people see and it could reach somebody, you know? So it's super important. And I think that even if there are shit corners out there that eventually just find their way, it could be any one of us that help them do it, but you can't stop it. You know, it's like, you're just enjoying the ride.
I hope I am not making you digress how you want
to go. Whatever's real. You know, I don't care how the interview is supposed to go. I don't have a plan. I never really have a plan. I just want to talk. I want it to be an honest conversation about whatever you're thinking. So yeah, anything you want to talk about is perfect. And it makes me, I feel like I'm getting very, very emotional because it's like very exciting. You know, it's very, you know, enlightening, you know, I just hope more and more people will find the way, you know, it's just whether they know it or not. And the shit coining came, it could be, like you said, US dollar, it could be real estate, it could be gold, you know, whatever people think their version of a shit coin is, you know, their version of trying to save their money, you know, but as far as in Nigeria, so the people, like you said, it's not like it's like every shop you go to accepts it, or is it very wide, like as far as how much can you spend your Bitcoin anywhere you go when you shop?
Oh yeah. So right now, adoption is still it's no more at the infant stage for Bitcoiners like myself. And you offer them to take Bitcoin and they don't say, give me a minute. They're not going to turn you down outrightly, except you're not talking to a top representative of that organization. I've tried it multiple times, and pretty very soon it's going to be widely accepted because we already have a tenant capital gain in our finance act for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency signed into law by the president. Only in the Bitcoin space, you start to see something completely new. A startup will come and then you become an international money transfer enabler. So a young man selling clothes in Nigeria, you know, ordinarily we'll find it very difficult mm-hmm. to take orders from you, Stacy. But today, Bitcoin makes it very, very possible. Oh, I like that African print. Can I get it? Yes, you can. You pay now. I confirm it in 10 minutes on chain. On Lightning, I confirm it in milliseconds. And I ship to you. You will only experience delays over the shipping rails because it's not powered by Bitcoin anyway. Those things have fiat-developed rigid steps that will always make bureaucracy stressful. Not really. But you can change your Bitcoin virtually everywhere. Now you see the difference. Let me spell it out clearly. You may not be able to walk into a shop now and buy a bottle of beer and I'm paying with Bitcoin, right? The counter man or lady, maybe the bartender, it's not the decision maker. So they have to reach out to their manager. But if you want to buy Bitcoin or convert your Bitcoin, mm-hmm. that's when you know that, oh my God, Nigeria is a marketplace. Yes. Yes. The US don't know what is going on. Except they continue with the strategy that they have always used to get information. And they do it with sincerity of purpose. Every nook and cranny you go today, you will find somebody converting US dollar to Nigerian Naira. Today, those guys who are converting the US dollar to Nigerian Naira are now converting Bitcoin to Nigerian Naira. And I have audio and video evidences of those type of business persons. They call them BDCs, Bureau de Change. The association president is like a godfather to me. They are the secondary market to dollar. So if you need dollar anywhere, most likely you will not get from the bank. I can guarantee that you won't get the mm-hmm. volumes you will get from them from the bank. So I have direct information. I think that by 2030, you will hear people say, buy Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin, convert Bitcoin to cash, convert Bitcoin to cash in Nigeria. It's already happening. The Northerners have their business as a currency business. The currency business in the North is very big, and they thrive mostly here in the South, Southwest. And if you approach any of them now and say, do you buy Bitcoin? Do you sell Bitcoin? If they don't, they already know the business. They'll say yes. So they were going to call a merchant. Just like you can easily convert dollar to cash, but then it is timed. Once it's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you can't convert dollar to cash anywhere in Nigeria again. Banks are closed. The BDCs are closed. It's scary to move dollar around. And dollar is very scarce. But on a peer-to-peer platform or an OTC desk started by a 19-year-old in Nigeria, you can convert $1 million. All the 19-year-old needs to do is to find a liquidity partner. That's a business opportunity for anybody that has sense. And I'm telling you, we are still in the nascent stage. There are thousands of young Nigerians that are now doing good. Come to Nigeria and see Benzes and see Lamborghinis and see Rolls Royces. Bitcoin money, not scam, not fraud. Bitcoin money, everyday sats converted to cash. Everyday sats converted to cash. People don't even want to interact with the US dollar. Shout out to America. I love America so much, but the fact has to be told. People with USDT. Some people have never, ever in their entire life touched the US dollar. Some of us have access to the US dollar, but some of us have not interacted with the US dollar as much since we have started interacting with the USDT.
Yeah, the USDT.
What do I need the US paper dollar for? When there are rails where the US... Yeah, there are places the US dollar cannot get to. There are places where you cannot use the US dollar. There are rails where the US dollar will have to scrutinize you and say, no, we don't like your color, it won't move. But USDT will move. A young Nigerian who does not have an international passport, I've never had a bank account, would do an international cross-border transaction with USDT and Bitcoin. So now that USDT is coming to Lightning or Bitcoin, it's a win for Paulo Arduino and the rest of them. It's a win for anybody that does not want to be banked. It will only expose the centralization of fat synthetic version, because that's what USDT is. But USDT penetration is faster than US dollar has ever done. And if they leave USDT like that, most likely one day, US dollar will wake up and realize that USDT is everywhere. So they should better use USDT as a Trojan horse. Say, whether you're a crypto Caesar going down the rabbit hole and the poor guy or girl in Nigeria whose mother sells on the side of the road fries, we all go through the same rabbit hole and we find them. The difference is we get more real world hands-on experience and opportunity to take quicker action than, you know, the person living in the dollarized environment, the real dollar environment, who may not take quick action. For example, one Bitcoin is now $80,000+, and Americans are not on the street marching, protesting. It's crazy. Americans are still comfortably sitting down in their homes. Oh my God. Oh, I clap for you guys.
Yeah.
We are good. We are still good. One Satoshi is bigger than the Nigerian Naira. We don't have to cry because the dollar is already bigger than the Nigerian Naira. We have been living this reality forever. So if you're just experiencing that in America for the first time, you should be, everybody should be out on the street.
And that's why I'm so blown away when I think, like, how are people not thinking about this? How do, just because we live here and other people live everywhere else, you don't think about how we're all connected and what this means, that what we're doing here with our dollars is affecting the rest of the world to the point that they have already found their safety. They've already taken that lifeboat, they're already off, you know, escaping this sinking ship, and we're just sitting here like on the Titanic, just chilling. Like, you're just like, I'll watch the concert play out and I'm just gonna stay here and it's okay. And they don't care, they don't think about it, because I think they're just so, their ego is so big. I think they just have such a, you know, their safety net. They just think, well, what else is there? It's just the dollar. They don't even think that there's another option. It's just that we're lucky to be Americans. That's all they think. You know, we're lucky to be America. We're lucky. You know, it's like they don't think that there's an issue.
Wait till all the Bitcoin the US wants to stack will end up being spent on intercontinental trade. Wait till a particular country in Africa will say, no, you want our oil, you want our minerals, you want our resource. Elon Musk, shout out to Elon Musk. I love Elon Musk so much. Or you want that stuff that make your body what it is, you keep testing on. You have to give us 10,000 BTC to have access to it.
Right?
So if you better huddle for the rainy days. You will still spend those Bitcoin over the Bitcoin network. The time is coming when Africans will realize that, oh my God, we cannot buy Bitcoin no more. All the Bitcoin has basically been bought. It's not very, very expensive. One Bitcoin is now $200 million. But then they still want our middle classes. All exactly. right, we're going to negotiate. Inflation will still exist, still reign supreme. So maybe by then we need more BTC to do transactions. So I'm very, very excited every day. Bitcoin is around me all the time. Look at this. I said, Paddy, you don't mount your BTC. What this means, said your Bitcoin. Have you
love it.
Have you positioned yourself for success? You know, there's something here that I show my dog time. Bitcoin, no, they carry, and I never come last. The slang is quickly changing to a Bitcoin, no, they carry last. We don't even keep flags in our home. You guys have the USA flag at home. They get so Bitcoin outfits everywhere. It is because of this show. This is what I wear almost every day. Go check my pictures and my thing around anybody that has an orange pill.
I love that. And I wanted to kind of mention how just this reminds me of, like, I'm Greek, you're Nigerian, and it reminds me of my favorite basketball player, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know if you know who that is. So he's my favorite. My kids love him. He's amazing, and we've seen so many of his games. We love him so much, and we've seen his documentaries, and he is such an amazing human being and such a passionate, talented person. But like, he's also on a team in Milwaukee with a player who Damian Lillard, and I saw him, which I'm like, I wonder if Giannis is a Bitcoiner, because I saw Lillard wearing twice a Satoshi
branded outfit,
like sweatshirt. Yes, Satoshi, just all over it.
Any smart Nigerian, a lot of Nigerians are into Bitcoin without saying it, you know? A lot of Nigerians are running Bitcoin node, and you won't find it on the radar because they're in Tor and all of that, you know? So, because we already understand what censorship is. We live in a censorship environment, right? It's a beautiful place. Don't get it twisted. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. If you come here for holiday, you'll find out that people live in this type of environment and they are happy. Like, people drive a $1 million car on a bad road, but they are very, very happy, and nobody's going to rob them. Nobody's going to rob them. You know, like, some of the bad things you see are just happening in a very tiny part of where people don't really go.
Yeah.
And it's enabled by the government. You know, if there's insecurity in a nation for more than 48 hours, the government of that nation is interested in that city.
Yeah, so Chicago is like that too.
Because of the dollar. You know, you still have the dollar and you think you're good.
I know.
You think good. That's just because you've not gone into it. You can have a wife. True. You can have a work partner that you tell Bitcoin every day. If they don't do their own research, they will never get it. I can bet you they will never, ever get it. They're telling you. So it takes a level of spirituality to hit that point in BTC. And when you wake up, you don't want to go to sleep again. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night just to join Darkside, Gary Cardone, and the rest of them, you know, when they are doing their spaces, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And I feel very connected. It feels like we're in the same room, right? Never in my entire life have I enjoyed such association. Look at you and I talking. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about Bitcoin. And it's so beautiful that Bitcoin is a way of life. It's not like we're saying Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin. But we're talking about our lives and how Bitcoin has really changed things. It makes you think about your finances. Do the right things. If you used to drink 4 bottles of beer every day and you understand that the beer bottles just keep going up, once you get into the rabbit hole of Bitcoin, nobody's going to tell you to start drinking your beer. Firstly, no longer in a restaurant, you drink at home because it's cheaper when you drink at home. Secondly, you reduce the amount of beer that you drink.
Living in this fiat rat race of a world, and you're not thinking that there's hope for the future, you're going to keep drinking. You're going to keep poisoning yourself because you don't feel like you have a future. You don't care. You just feel like you're slowly killing yourself. But when you feel like you have hope, and now Bitcoin gives you hope, then you look forward to the future. So now you want to take care of yourself to be around for that future. So it actually wants makes you want to live your life and take care of yourself.
I tell anybody that is stacking so much BTC now, if you don't have a need for it, what you should be doing is what, and you want to be very rich. If you cannot do what Michael Saylor is doing, look at what other people did. Try as much as possible. Open your eyes, zoom out, look Africa. You can choose a particular country of choice and go there. Be on ground. Test the waters. Discuss with the capital market players. Discuss with the bankers. Show them your stack and say, look, get me on top of your board. I have this much stack. You don't even need to give them your stack. What I'm trying to say indirectly is these are the new opportunities to get into the fintech business, in the fintech space, the new fintech space. The bankers of tomorrow are us, not the ones you see now in the fiat space. And that's why you see Larry Fink and the rest of them running quickly using the ETF to acquire as much Bitcoin as possible.
And they, I was trying to hear you. It was breaking up. I was trying to piece it together.
What was the last thing you heard so I can pick up from there?
We were talking about like peer-to-peer. I heard you were saying peer-to-peer transactions.
Okay, so I was talking about Larry Fink and the rest of them. You see what they are doing? They want to remain the bank of the future, right? Like Simon Dixon's bank of the future. So they're buying a lot of Bitcoin. Already, we are all bankers of the future. Why are we trying to raise funds now to build a proper exchange to ensure that we have Lightning so we can onboard the next 50 million people in Nigeria alone? We have the market.
Well, you've already built this exchange. You just want to incorporate Lightning, right?
The rubbish that happened in the fintech space is why we built the exchange, right? I don't want to go there. I've said it multiple times. But for the people who are seeing me for the first time, who practically don't know me, the world is a big place. I used to build for banks myself and my team. When I came back from New York, the first place we went to was the bank. So we built a diaspora remittance solution. We tried to sell the Bitcoin idea to them. They didn't listen. But when pandemic struck, we decided to, you know, go into the business by ourselves because we had no license. We didn't have the money to, you know, you need at least like $2 million to do anything around the fintech space in Nigeria. So if you don't have that capacity, you're not funded, then just forget about it. But with Bitcoin, you don't need anything. You just need time and space. So I went into the rabbit hole again of how to build. And that's why I love what my Nigerian brothers are doing with Kala Nalton, BitTrust. Shout out to Jack Dorsey and Jay-Z for funding them. We need more of that. So it took us this long to get the best of the best developers, right? It's very, very expensive to build Bitcoin products for us here in Nigeria. So 95%, if not 98%, sits on third-party APIs. So you see people building API services and they shit it on Nigerians because people are lazy, they don't want to build, or they just want to go to market quickly. And I'm not a fan of that. I'm a fan of ownership. So we had to learn, you know, went through the bear market. I said, look, we cannot be running an unstable exchange. We want a situation whereby people can wake up in the middle of the night and do seamless transaction and a stable transaction. Because it's sometimes still better, the on-chain fees can be terrible to a Nigerian person. You know, as little as 2 sats per V-byte, right, can be costly if you convert it to Nigerian Naira. If you multiply 2 sats per V-byte by 140 average size of Segwit transaction, you will see that the amount which you give you in sats in total is already bigger than any amount the traditional banks will charge you, right? Although Nigerians don't care. But new entrants care. Okay, power cut again.
Oh, no. You have to turn the generator on?
Yeah. So I think they're trying to squeak something. I'm sure they don't know I'm running a meeting here.
Yeah.
So, So that's our reality. We haven't even touched on Bitcoin mining and how it can support the power grid. You know, that's every time the power goes up, I remember almost everybody in Nigeria experienced this.
Yeah. Yes.
Yoshi Nakamoto designed Bitcoin in Nigeria. Look at how bright outside is.
And it's also, I see that, yeah.
You see how bright it is outside?
Yes.
Yeah, you see how dark the house is?
Yeah.
It's only dark because the power just went off.
Wow.
Right? And it goes off all the time like that. So sometimes when you get tasked, it's not because they don't want to. It's because maybe the electricity is not up. Maybe the data cannot be connected.
Well, I think it's important that even though we didn't get into talking about how it could sustain the energy grid, I love how, not that I love that it happens, but I'm glad with it happening, at least you guys get to see that it could be a solution for, you know, areas in the world that have this type of problem, and how crazy it is that people have this happen multiple times. And it just shows you that it happened during our podcast twice now, that there needs to be something to help fix this, because not everybody has it the same as we do in America here. So let's just wait a minute to see if he hops back in. Hey.
I'm not sure you can see me. Can you see me?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to wait.
Yes. So I'm the only one available for, so I can't, I don't want to go out there.
No, it's okay. We need to finish up anyway. So I'm so happy. I just wanted to finish with one quote that you said from the podcast. You said that Satoshi didn't make Bitcoin for the US, he made it for the world. And I just love that you said that. That was like such a great quote. And it's so true. He made it for everybody. And just showing that what happened with the, you know, the power outage, you know, it's just what Bitcoin can do for these energy grids is so important, because we're not all lucky, you know, to have power consistently. So it's, I hope that is something that they're building out there in Nigeria, and it's starting to become a thing.
Yeah. You know, the power cut issue is not just, it's not for the poor.
Yeah.
It's for middle class, for the rich. It's everybody that experiences it. The experiences in a bank, the experiences in five-star restaurants is a crazy thing, right? And I'm saying now, if your helper or your steward or your facility persons are not close to you, you may not be able to fix it. So they need my resource to fix something. And that's because so you need diesel or fuel to work, right? If the solar battery is dead, then you can't have power. If the inverter is dead, just forget about it. So you have to make sure you fill your generator. So, but that's a story for another area. I've mined Bitcoin. I sold some of my miners. We were mining, and the challenges was very, as beautiful as it is, I have my own story, but I prefer the exchange business, because that way you can really do the numbic. I'm hands-on in that, and I see how a Coinbase will remain more profitable, a Binance will remain more profitable, a Strike, a wallet of Satoshi. When I think Satoshi will be mined, I thank God that there is an opportunity to just do the Bitcoin exchange business. Because just imagine what's going to happen in 2140. Will all these miners turn off their miners? No, they won't. Everybody will fight for just that one Satoshi. So if you think one Bitcoin is just going to be $1 million, you're deceiving yourself. One Bitcoin can end up being $10 billion. And one Satoshi might be $10 million. Because by 2140, all these big mines, SecPool, AntPool, you know, what are their names? Let me check.
Mara. If I go to the main pool now.
Yeah, Mara, Viabi, Foundry, USA, Luxor, all of them, you know. White pool. What do you think they would do? Shut down their miners for somebody else to mine one Satoshi? One Satoshi is going to cost a lot by then. Most of us will not be alive again by then. But whatever we leave, even if you leave just 10,000 sats for your family will be one of the wealthiest.
I know, it's amazing to think that there won't be any more block reward, but they're all going to be getting paid just the transaction fees, which is insane to think that every 10 minutes there will be those transaction fees for the block. And that's going to be astronomical, because compared to the first 50 bitcoins that were earned as a reward, they were worth nothing. And then it's gone exponentially higher every 4 years for every block reward. And then when there's no block reward, just the fees for those every 10 minute transactions are going to be through the roof. You know, it's like, even they say we can't comprehend as humans the exponential growth of technology. So we can't fathom. So when you talk about that amount of money being worth for one Satoshi, it can happen, because we can't comprehend the growth. You know, we get just like how Jeff Booth talks about it, exponential growth. And it reminds me of when he talked about folding a piece of paper, like he was talking about that thing. Yeah.
I love how he explains Bitcoin.
It was amazing because he has explained that folding a piece of paper 33 times or something like that. And it's, I don't know if exactly if I'm getting it right, but it would reach the moon, you know? And it's like, to even think about how that would happen, it's, I still don't get it, but it's like, that's why our brains can't fathom, you know, what would happen. So.
Look, I let me tell you this. People don't understand. I'm saying it again, that here in Nigeria, one Satoshi is already bigger than one Nigerian Naira. So it's foolish for anybody to be saving in the Nigerian Naira, any wise person to save in the Nigerian Naira, right? People don't even save in the Nigerian Naira any longer, except you don't know an alternative. People save in pounds, sterling, they save in dollars, or they try to buy real estate. And talking about real estate, that's another crazy place, because my partner, Jeremy Garcia, opened my eyes to, that's my partner at Satoshi's Journal, opened my eyes to what real estate is. And sometimes I regret investing in real estate so much. Apart from the house that you would live in, I don't really advise people to do too much of real estate if you are trying to grow your wealth. Of course, there's this profitability in real estate business. But if you live in a country like ours, I don't want to start explaining that to you. The stress of buying real estate, of verification, it's just like gold.
Mm-hmm. And you can't take it with you. It's not, doesn't transcend space and time. Like, it has limitations. You can't take it with you wherever you go. You have to go through all the hassle to sell it. You have taxes and
the liquidity in BTC is crazy. You can convert 10 million Bitcoin to cash. $10 million worth of Bitcoin to cash overnight in the club, in the church, in the mosque, anywhere. You don't have to leave your home. If your account can take the fiat, you will do it. You will be shocked where the liquidity will come from.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it's easier to convert Bitcoin to cash than to buy Bitcoin. So I tried to
That's going to be very more true.
Yeah, this holding thing is important. It's easier to convert Bitcoin to cash in Nigeria. I'm telling you, people will buy your Bitcoin like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Saylor wants to sell his Bitcoin now. I can bet him there's liquidity that is not in the bank that people will pull and they will buy his BTC.
And imagine when the exchanges run dry, it's just going to be only either over the counter, like you said, like miners selling Bitcoin, or it's going to be people that are selling some back into the markets after they need to buy stuff in the real world or something. But it's just going to be very easy to exchange for any sort of fiat, very hard to get any Bitcoin. So it's going
to
be...
It's very hard to get Bitcoin. It's easy. It's the easiest. We already have... Why are people exchanging the Bitcoin to fiat? The banks. So when people say, oh, they're stifling Bitcoin adoption in Nigeria. No, that used to be my thought. But I am in this business. I see that the banks... What don't believe what they say?
Yeah.
Watch what they do.
Yeah.
You see, the banking rails is what they use to convert Bitcoin to cash. So who do you think give the API to do so? There are hundreds of apps doing so. Some of these app founders, executives, don't even know as much what Bitcoin is. They've not gone through the rabbit hole. They just see it as a business model. Like, you cannot get into BTC buying and selling and ever lose. It's like the currency black market. You will never lose. You will always make money. You will always make money. Anybody that is able to solve that problem, because it looks as if Lightning is not taking off. But that's the key to challenging MasterCard and Visa business in Nigeria. Technology always beats technology. And technology is always ahead of regulation.
Yes.
And we see ourselves as the people who can do that. The moment we get it and we crack that code and we get Lightning on our platform, it's a wrap, because I will be on the streets. I will be in the churches. I will be in the mosque. That's my advantage over some other founders. I will be everywhere, at the bus stop. I can talk to the wealthy, the middle class, and the poor, because I'm accessible. I don't need a bodyguard to move, right? So, and that's the problem. Adoption work is very, 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 very low. Right. One of the saddest things is there have been multiple Bitcoin conferences around the world, right? 3 years happened in Africa, and nobody thought of coming to do a Bitcoin conference in Nigeria.
I would love to do
the country with the biggest Bitcoin adoption. And I advocated for it several times. And you know what? I brought out my own money last year, December. I spoke to the director general of the SEC. I say, sir, please show up. I know you love Bitcoin. I know you wrote your thesis in Bitcoin. If you truly want this sector to grow, show up. And he did. And he showed up. And some Americans came. And we had it. I sponsored it 98% of my money. No foreign company sponsored the business. And we had the Bitcoin conference in Nigeria. And we're going to do it again this year. And it's going to be bigger. So I tell people, look, come here. Come home. Stay. I'm inviting you. Come home. You don't need to stress yourself. It's visa on arrival. Mm-hmm. I'll clear you at the bus stop. I did it for, what's his name? Frederick Barber. Go check him out. I cleared him at Adina. I cleared them at the immigration here in Nigeria. You would come. Yeah. You would spend your Bitcoin. You would see people. You would leave safely. And you'll be surprised why people are not coming back home here. I tell people, if you truly want to taste on-ground adoption work, been processed by Paxful way back 2021.
Me and my husband are going to the Bitcoin conference in Vegas. It's going to be my first conference ever, and I hope that that will not be, you know, that's not going to be, and not that I hope, I know it won't be the last one I'll go to. So my dream is for us to go to more of them, and especially to Nigeria would be amazing.
I'll be on your neck like your esophagus.
That's amazing.
To come to Nigeria for good. For good, just if you're going to be safe. I'm giving you an open invite. Yes. I am the convener of the event. I'm giving you an open invite, especially because of the Bitcoin Army. The Bitcoin Army are nice people.
Oh, yeah.
I check you guys out. Shout out to Laura. Mm-hmm. Laura. Laura is an amazing person. I just love her so much. She's an angel sent.
She's an heavenly sent. She sees connections. She sees people that would be, you know, great to interact with each other. She saw that you would be great to have on my show, and I'm so grateful. She's an amazing. She is an angel. She's so great.
Because of Laura, and now because of you, I'm extending this invite to everybody in the Bitcoin Army force. I say, look, I'm a part of you guys, right? Come to Nigeria in December. Go and dust your passports. Mm? Carry your bag.
Yeah.
And come and experience local Bitcoin conference. Come and eat our food. Come and wear our clothes. Come and see our bitches. And when I say bitches, I don't mean I mean seaside. Right. I mean waterside bitches. Lagos is the city of aqua splendor, like Miami. Come and see the people for real. Come and have access to what you have never had access to. Real life nature. Healthy meals, beautiful music. Afrobeat is taking over the world. Nigerians come to America and they sell Madison Square Garden. That's for you to see how much our culture has eaten deep all over the world, right? The Nigerian star of just 1 year, 2 years will come to America and they will sell a 20,000, 50,000 seat auditorium. And that's because our music is traveling around the world. Now imagine what Bitcoin adoption is doing. One day we would come to America and we would do a Nigerian Bitcoin conference, and you would see Nigerians in diaspora fill up the room in their thousands. But before then, I would like you all to come here and say, look, we have been there, we were on ground, we sold Bitcoin, we bought Bitcoin, even if it's just $10 worth of Bitcoin, you buy from people, you sell to people, you see how people are happy about
BTC. We might have to bring our kids with us, we might never want to go back, so it's like...
No, you should go back because you don't want to experience the power cuts back to back.
Oh, yeah. Well, until that happens, maybe. Until the power grid is established. That would be definitely better. But, oh, my gosh, this has been so amazing. Thank you again to Laura for setting this up for us. And thank you so much for talking to me. I know we had a little bit of a snag at the beginning getting started. I'm so glad you stuck around with me and got on and we had this talk because I feel like so much more energized. I'm so grateful to talk to you, and just the how amazing is it that we get to talk from, you know, America to Nigeria and have a conversation like this is just I'm just so grateful. Yeah. You know, this has been amazing, and I can't wait to clip some of these clips. You've said so many really great things that I can't wait to share with everybody. And I'm going to try, I feel like you're, I mean, I've talked to like so many amazing people so far from the Bitcoin Army, and I have a schedule of releases coming up of people to.
Your schedule is so tight. Oh, I respect you.
It is. But I'm trying, I feel like because of all of them that I've talked to, and now especially you, I'm rethinking trying to post episodes more than once a week, because this is getting too hard to, you know, wait once a week to post them, because I can't wait to get these out. So I'm really looking forward to posting this for everybody. And thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I appreciate you. I'm sure there are lots of things we could have spoken about, but because this was not pre-mined, right? It wasn't pre-mined. It's a consensus conversation, mm-hmm. and it's real world conversation. Mm-hmm. Realistically, we spoke, and it wasn't like anything was jotted down.
Yes.
So I like the way it was very natural. So I really, really do appreciate you. But a few things I would like to put out there. I would like to say, please, just like you've beamed a light on me, there are other Nigerians that I would like you to beam a light on when the time arrives. And again, the Nigerian Bitcoin Conference is coming.
Yes. If you have any other links you want to share with everybody, send them to me and I'll post them below the video too. They can know what to click on. And I would definitely love to have you on again at some point, because this has been really great. And I'd love
to. We should invite you to one of our spaces too. We do spaces every day. So if you can stay awake a little bit earlier, I saw you breathing today, but in a few seconds, you're already out. You know, so if you can come over, we don't mind to host, get your own perspective. Yes.
Great. Yeah, no, I would love that. Yeah, if you ever just tag me in a space, you know, I don't know why I couldn't think of the word. But yeah, if you tag me in a space, I'd love to join.
Yeah. So shout out to all the Americans, shout out to all your fans. I glanced through your YouTube page. I see there are lots of stuff that I have to watch. Some of my favorite Bitcoiners are there. And I love the quality of guests that you've had. You put in a lot of work. When I saw your calendar, I said, No. This woman is stupid.
I know. That's why I'm thinking I got to start posting more, because I already have a lineup of stuff I have to put out. And I've already done a few interviews that I can't wait to share. So we'll see how that goes. But thank you so much for checking it out. I'm sure you're going to love it. They're all just like natural talking kind of interviews. Yeah. So thank you for being on. And I will see you on X. Take care. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.